This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Good evening and thanks for joining the award-winning To Hull and Back podcast sponsored by Old Zoological Bar and Kingfisher Quality Fish and Chips in Hull. I'm your host Nathaniel and tonight I'm joined by Will and Tom. And as we haven't had a match yesterday, as it's the international break, you can see Will there, bored of international breaks, especially with England playing such unattractive football with that long ball goal they scored through Kyle
Walker. The rugby union side played better football than the football side.
Well, yeah, so we might not have that much to talk about, so I might actually ask you about what I've seen with some new rugby union rules. So hopefully that hasn't put any diehard really football fans off. Content. Yeah, but we thought we'll encourage people really to ask some questions on this episode as it's the international break. I had a really nice fun time doing the Q&A 2 weeks ago when we were supposed to be signing Philogene and Davis from Aston Villa. And so I answered questions then. So put your questions in the comments on the live streams on Twitter, YouTube and Facebook, and we'll do our best to answer them. But just to start off, I saw an article in the Hull Daily Mail, and of course it's linked to the sort of combined lineups that I do. But after the 10 signings we've made in this summer transfer window, we want to know exactly what the best Hull City team is that we can put out in an 11. So give me a few seconds whilst it loads. But I guess just Will, thoughts on, let's start with the goalkeeper. How are you firstly? And then let's talk about the goalkeeper situation. Who's the best there that we've got?
Firstly, I'm melting hot. Secondly, it's weird seeing a combined 11 that has 11 Hull City players in it. I won't lie.
Well, when we play Sheffield Wednesday again later on, this will be the combined lineup.
And we'll probably lose 1-0 then.
We probably would lose if I predicted that, yeah. So, Allsop, Lotutala, or Ingram?
Ingram's done nothing wrong, so in my opinion, you don't drop Ingram even for a new signing who's really coming to be equal to him.
Tom, thoughts? And I'll take this graphic off if I can read it out, but it'd be nice to have your face on the actual episode.
I mean, so, the audio listeners couldn't see the graphic in the first place.
That's true. I'll read out my 11, but I think we'll probably just go through every position, so we don't really need to read it out.
From what I saw there, I think Tufan, given his start to the season, I'd agree with, but it's obviously a toss-up between him and Connolly, who have both been great, and he can't...
For the goalkeeper position...
I was just on about the whole team in general, but in terms of the goalkeeper, then I like Will. He can't drop Ingram. He's not going to put a foot wrong. He made some crucial saves this season. And to be fair, given he's not great with the ball at his feet, I don't think he's been too bad at distributing out either. So yeah, can't really complain.
But Vecinia brought in Allsop from, is it Cardiff because of his ability on the ball. So do we think that that he will eventually become the number one goalkeeper? Like Ingram, the last two seasons has been pushed out of that number one spot. So could that happen again if he does struggle at some point with playing out from the back?
If he struggles, then possibly. But at this moment in time, I don't think you can say he's struggled yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only game you could argue, the only game you could really truly argue he struggled was the Doncaster Rovers game. And despite what everyone wants to believe about that game, and that wasn't really Ingram's fault. It was kind of the defenders not really helping him at all.
Yeah. No movement, was there? And it is a League Cup game, so sort of give him off, you know, give that one off for him. I think we're all agreeing with Ingram, because I think maybe Darlow was better, but with the keepers, even with bringing Allsop, the keepers we've got at the moment, I think Ingram's really the best, right? You agree with that, Tom?
Yeah.
Complaints?
Yeah. Ian Templeman's,
Ian's very happy with my lineup. He says, bloody hell, Nat, I think you are about right for once. It's not a combined lineup, so maybe just, if I can name a whole, 11 whole players, there's not really anything to complain about there. Pretty easy. Mm. So now here's
Chris State right back. Kyle. Well, that's obviously
isn't Kyle in the Sky team of the year so far? I know it's only been five games. I'm pretty sure he is in the Sky Sports.
He's so far in the team of the season so far, he's in most of them statistically.
Yeah. The football app I use,
similar to Ingram, I can't justify dropping him for Christie.
No, but this was sort of when they're all fully fit, Christie probably will be in above Coyle, because I think the reason why he hasn't played so well so far, although he did make an impact against Leicester having a shot on target, he will probably...
Christie can't defend as good as Coyle, though, I think.
Coyle's played well all season so far. He can't justify dropping him. Even if they're both fully fit. And even when Coyle's not fully fit, he still plays great. He played most of the half of last season with broken ribs.
Yeah, well, perhaps that's why he's been the best strike back in the league somehow, which I still can't believe with the amount of criticism he gets. But because he is fully fit now, he hasn't got a broken rib, perhaps that's healed. It's playing, letting him play.
He's just a monster in 1v1s, I think. Like, he's not the quickest, but he's just, his 1v1 defending is just class. Like, it's just what you want to see from a fullback.
Yeah, and I think you do want the club captain on the pitch, because so often he's not been on there, but he ended last season quite well, and it's pretty good. We're very blessed in the right back position then. If we've got a great club captain playing for the team, for his, local town, and is, five games in, the best right back in the league. And then Christie was, for the two thirds of the season he was fit, the best right back in the league statistically. That's a very good position to be in, isn't it?
I think probably Conor Roberts, but then playing like that.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about Conor Roberts, Tom, because we don't have him.
you said he'd be the best right back in the league.
Yeah, but we're not doing our team of the season so far after five games. I know it's an international break, but I think we've got other stuff to talk about. I think we've only got one right-sided centre-back that isn't like Andy Smith. I mean, Andy Smith's good, but he's not played for us, has he, ever before? So I think Jones...
He played against Doncaster.
Right, okay.
And he played in League One season as well, I think, in the Papa John's Trophy.
Fair enough.
Apart from that,
it's got to be Jones at right sided centre back, isn't it?
He's been our best centre back by far.
Yeah, lovely assist against Blackburn. What is it, really vindication? Has anyone really complained about Alfie Jones?
No one's complained about Alfie Jones. Everyone's ignored him until recently.
Well, we're not ignoring him.
He was just ignored, and everyone was mad at from McLaughlin, even though Jones was doing just as good a job. That's nothing against McLaughlin. He was good last season, but Jones was as good, and, well, Liam clearly fell also, because he gave him Player of the Year.
Jones was class,
He sort of has to be in, because Smith's not played enough for us, so he, in a best 11 of whole players, he's got to be in there at right side as centre-back, hasn't he? And then I guess the other one, do you want Greaves out at left back? Because he has played quite well there this season and last season. But then Vinagre played very well.
You did watch the Leicester game, didn't you, Nathaniel?
Well, I listened to it. Oh, actually, I didn't listen to it. I was on holiday, so Vinagre I was just following it.
Yeah.
Vinagre the defence was, needs to be Vinagre, so Green, Jones, Kyle.
Yeah, I think I won't bring the graphic back up, but that is what I had, because we've signed Vinagre to be, you know, the starting player, especially above Furlong, now that Fleming's out on loan. And well,
that's the other thing as well. With Furlong also coming in, Greaves isn't going to be playing left back again for a while.
Yeah, perhaps.
Even though he did well there, but
he doesn't want to play there. He wants to be in the centre back.
Right? Yeah. Are we a bit light in the defensive region? I know we've got two.
I said that all summer. I said that in midfield as well. Like, we'd like to have a defensive midfielder. I mean, we brought in Tyler Morton, but I think we've got like four central midfielders, really. Seri Slater, Doherty, and the Tyler Morton. And then in terms of the centre backs, we've literally got four to count upon. And obviously, one of them is Andy Smith. And I wouldn't say I was comfortable playing it if he had to play ahead of, you know, say if Jones got injured or something and had to play, then I won't be comfortable playing with him given what we've seen so far. But clearly, like I said previously, like, Rossini must see something in him to not go out and buy a centre back. And if obviously, if he didn't, then he'd have loaned him out. Like, that's it. So,
and maybe, we don't really
maybe
know.
Like, it's a bit untapped potential there, really.
We don't know how good he is on the ball either. And that's so important. With Jones used to play midfield, he can definitely do that. We can see against his, with his lovely assist for Connolly against Blackburn, that's something he's really good at, but we don't know about Smith, really. So, yeah, I think that's the back five. I keep joking about how much money we're paying for him, so Seri's got to be in there, right? Because he's so important. We saw when Simons came in and Woods, they couldn't link the play together as well as we need it with Seri.
I'd go as far as saying that Seri's the most important player in the whole club. But in terms of you take him out of the squad, you lose that connection between defence, midfield and attack. He's the fulcrum in midfield, like. And no one can replace the impacts that he has on the team, I don't think. Whereas other areas of the squad, you could say that you can replace him. Like, say, if an aggro injured, like Greaves can play there. If if Slater got injured, you could put someone in there. Like, on a Doherty, he wouldn't probably have the same impact, but it'd be better than having to swap out Seri, if you know what I mean. So, I think Seri's probably our most important player.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, but, you know, paying him 200 grand a week or whatever it is, you'd hope that he would be the most important player.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, with how many times he gets us out of those tricky situations at the back, and, of course, Greaves and Jones and McLaughlin are good on the ball, but you really need Seri to drop in as well and start those attacks. And then player of the season last year, Regan Slater next to him. I mean, we haven't really seen, well, we've not seen anything of Tyler Morton except when we played him against Blackburn last year. So I guess it's Slater, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Rossini sort of like drops the idea of having like a ball winner in there, like an out and out ball winner, just to have ball players instead. I think his idea is to keep the ball as much as possible, so we don't need to win it back. If you know what I mean, with our midfield, like, because if you look on the outset, from our perspective, that we look a bit lightweight in there with Seri and Slater, but so far this season we've looked pretty like comfortable. I know we've been breached a few times, like through midfield, and teams have got at us. But I think overall it's been promising. But I would have still liked to have seen us bring in sort of like a ball winner in there, maybe someone over 6 foot, that a bit more physically imposing. Because you know, it's a long season, and you're going to get these games where you'll probably get outclassed, but you'll come against a team that has more strength in there, and that's where the battle can sometimes be won and lost. And you know, we've seen it a couple of times a season where we breach quite easy. So I'd like to have seen us improve that area a bit more.
Do you think Jones at Championship level could work there? Do you think he's not got the mobility? Because I think that
mobility is the key thing. I think with centre back, you can position yourself a bit better. Like, if you need to take the extra few yards, you can drop off. Whereas in midfield, you can get bypassed quite easy. And like, you either choose to sort of press up and win the ball back, or sort of drop a bit deeper. But Rossini said like Tyler Morton could be that sort of aggressive midfielder that would miss a little bit. Like, I know he's not necessarily, I think he's like 5'9" again. He's not like tall, but I think he's got the aggression and the ability to win the ball back. So hopefully that's the reason why he's been brought in, as well as his ball playing ability as well. Apparently he's great on the ball. So yeah, I think he fits our style well.
Yeah, but maybe when you... Yeah, go on, Will.
I wouldn't be surprised, that I don't think he will, if you saw Morton come straight into the team for the Coventry game, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he will, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Bold? Why would you not be surprised?
Because Rossini raised him so highly. Like he brought him up when we played them last season. He brought him up specifically in his post-match press conference, which says to me he's been someone he's been impressed with for a long while. And I think he's got him in. And like I say, last season he had a good season block, but I just feel like he wants him, because the main issue, as we mentioned, in the midfield, we do seem a bit light at times. I think he wants to eradicate that as soon as possible, and by bringing Morton in, I think he'll at least try and do that straight away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose he brought in Twine straight away, and would we imagine moving a bit higher up the pitch? Twine, with the amount of sort of excitement around him, and I know we have a lot of wingers, but he came straight in. His first touch against Bristol City that I watched, that was amazing. He's got to be in any sort of position, whether it's in the midfield or kind of as a 10 or out wide, got to find a way to include him, surely.
Well, we have two fan injured. I think we'll be seeing Twine playing in that number 10 role against Coventry.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably a good chance.
Philogene could, well, then
Philogene might be. Ryan O'Reilly, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully. Then, and then who was on the left?
Well, we're missing someone. I mean, Delap was on the left, wasn't he?
But that was on the right, wasn't he? And Connolly was up front, so maybe we play Philogene on the left, Delap on the right, Connolly up front. But I think, I'm not sure if Rossini's going to go back to obviously playing Delap a bit more centrally. Given, you know, like
at home, he'd rather play him up front in the middle, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I think he was out wide because obviously he was out wide against Leicester because he's more effective there against their wide centre backs rather than obviously if you play centrally, you know, it's a bit harder, I think, but he's more effective out wide. But it depends on the sort of team you're playing against.
So. Mm. Well, yeah, maybe that Delap on the wing against Leicester thing was just sort of a one off.
Obviously Leicester play three at the back, so maybe it was easier for Delap to exploit their defence from wide than it was centrally because he got more space on the ball. Mm-hmm. And then whereas against like Bristol City, I think obviously playing centrally because he's against two centre backs, though he's still obviously drifted out wide, and that's what's the beauty of it. Like he's so hard to pick up that he can just drift out wide and pick up the ball drive, and essentially he's able to hold up the ball as well and bring others into play. So obviously you have to fit him anywhere you can get him in with Delap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, Delap and Connolly are very different strikers. I imagine Delap's, you know, he's bigger. He can hold the ball up a bit more with the interplay, and Connolly's just sort of get in over the top with series passes and score the one-on-ones and score the chances that we create. When we've got Tufan fit, he's imagined probably at, you know, number 10, Twine and Philogene out wide, or whoever, you know, whatever winger we happen to choose out of the many options we have. So I think probably early to tell, but Connolly's got 3 goals, Delap's got 2, but I think Delap probably brings more to start the game. And then Connolly against sort of tired defenders later on in the game. As we've seen, like Kerry came on against Blackburn, scored 2. He's probably a finisher in terms of coming off the bench more often, right? Just kind of
I do like his bite up front, his pressing. Like really enjoyed that against Leicester. Like he just puts himself about. He's like a workhorse. He just plays like a street sort of football, if you know what I mean. Like he just chases down everything, and you know that's exactly what you want as a striker. Mm. And that's probably why he was deployed there against Leicester, because he wanted to get in the faces from the off, and he set the tone for that. So. It will be. I think after that performance, he won't get dropped against Coventry. But it's good that we've got the options to sort of change it up off the bench if we need to. And obviously, Aliar came off the bench against Leicester. I liked what I saw from him a little bit, and I want to see more of him centrally. And hopefully, he'll get more chances off the bench, like 20 minutes. And if he can impress, then try break his way into the plans. But
So yeah. Did Aliar come on as a striker?
He was sort. I think he was playing striker. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that
did he come on for Connolly? I don't know. Yeah, he came on the last, I think. But he was, yeah, yeah, I think he was. I think if we yag to play him, he'll be up front, I think. Mm. But obviously, he can play on the right as well.
Yeah, because he's not been prolific for us. But on the wing, he's not really done a lot on the wing. And when we brought him in initially, he was playing up front rather than four shoots.
Yeah, it was him and KLP.
Up front.
He's better in a two up front, as we saw with Keane Lewis-Potter when towards the end of the two seasons ago, like he was both playing up front and, you know, was looking good with them two. And then obviously we're bringing Oscar and then push Ali out wide, and it's not really his position. He probably played better as a wing back than he did on the wing, so that says a lot. But yeah, I'd rather see him up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking about the strikers we've got. We've got so many attacking players. I thought I'd just make this lineup that's a bit different. This is Football Manager, yes. Yeah. So for the audio,
it's Football Manager when Football Manager when you're like 3-1 down with 10 minutes to go. Yeah.
You're
so
really bored.
Oh, this is really a sort of a 1-1-2-4-2 formation of Greaves at the back by himself.
Formation from the 1940s.
If I stop the banner,
in 1953.
If I stop the banner for a second, you actually see who's in goal. It's Regan Slater, and there wasn't space for him. There wasn't space for him in the midfield because there isn't really one. So he's defensive mid or sort of a sweep own. You got Vinagre Christie, the Kilo Twine, Tufan Philogene, Connolly and Dap all up front pretty much. But I thought this formation, if we do need the goal, you need Slater on the pitch. He's a utility player, sort of. He can play anywhere, really. On FIFA, I can play him right back and that works perfectly fine because he's very well-rounded. So I thought he has to be in somewhere. And we can't put Seri in goal. Could have been Greaves, but then you don't want Greaves, you know, in goal and Slater as a centre back. So I thought, could we play a 1-1-2-4-2 formation or whatever it was?
Remember about 10 minutes ago when I said, I like these 11s because there's 11 Hull City players in them. I'm taking that back. That's the worst formation I think I've ever seen you do.
It wasn't supposed to be realistic. It's just that's the only way we can fit all the attacking players.
A nice 1-3-4-2 formation.
Put six up front like that and then, you know, push the fullbacks as far up as possible. And, you know, if we're 1-0 down in the playoff final, you're not going to just try and, you know, grind out a 1-0 defeat. Oh, you've got to go for it.
No, I'm probably not going to sub off my keeper either.
For a five-foot-eight player, something like that. Yeah.
You might have picked the shortest player in the team and put him in goal there.
Well, he's got to be there. I felt like Slater would be one of the first to you know, volunteer offer to go in goal.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a nice guy. He does what he needs to do for the team. That's what I was thinking.
I imagine it would be one of the centre-backs.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they're slow. Maybe Slater can sprint out of his goal quickly and, you know, like smother the, you know, the attacker. Dallas Woods, finally, I've put in my little bio here, get your questions in. Dallas has got a good question. Are you smoking crack? I wasn't. I was just trying to, add a bit of levity. Here, another one. I'd start Aliar and Delap up front against Coventry and give Connolly plenty of time second half. Well, I think Aliar's probably not fit enough to start yet, perhaps. But I think I'm quite excited, actually, if Rossini has decided to start playing him up front, because I think that's probably his best position. I know he's not been prolific for us, but he's got a few goals and perhaps we'll start seeing the best of him now. You know, pressing like Connolly can be, so perhaps we're not as short up front as I thought. Ian, he starts off sensible and then I go and soil it. I'm imagining that could be spoiled it, but I could have soiled it as well, I suppose.
Maybe a bit of both.
Maybe a bit of both. Well, let's move away from lineups now. We can come back to one later. Don't worry, we've got the combined lineup, the best part of the podcast. But I think let's just go through a few more stats and then perhaps look at the very big week we've got ahead with the Coventry and the Leeds games at home. Got a question from my friend Kieran. Are we going up? So, Will, are we going up?
Yes.
Yes? Do you want to back that up? What have you seen?
I just don't want to be negative.
No, but what have you seen in the first five games that means that it's more likely than it was before the season started, perhaps? And don't just say we've won three games. That's boring. Tactically and performance-wise, what have you seen?
We've only lost one game. There you go.
That's good. So
in three games. I feel that the style that Rashine is getting us to play is clearly improving week on week. And mm-hmm. if it's doing so well at this point against decent sides like Leicester, I'll be honest, I don't think we're going to go up, really. But if it improves week on week as it is, you can't argue with us being with a shout of being up there mm-hmm. in the top six. I mean, we're six now. I know you shouldn't base it after five games. 10 games yeah. minimum is when you start looking at the table, and then even then that's a bit early. But there's nothing to say we can't do it.
Well, we're averaging title form at the moment with the amount of points we've got from five games, double points.
But then you can say five teams are averaging better points as well.
But we've not played them yet. We've not had the chance to beat them yet, or some of them. We've probably beat two of them, actually, so that's not a very good stat. But, Tom, are we going up? Yes or no?
Ask me in 10 games time, but...
Yes.
I'll just be the bearer of bad news and say no, but I think we're gonna push towards playoffs. I don't wanna say yes and then look back at in the season and be like, oh yeah, I said was going up and all that. But I think last season we started first 4 games, 2 wins, 2 draws. Look how we beat it out. Obviously I was under shorter, but now performance have improved a lot the start of the season, obviously under Rashine. So I'm encouraged by that. But obviously, we've got some tough fixtures to come. Obviously, Leeds is still going to be a tough fixture because of the occasion. I know they haven't started well, but I think they're clicking a bit now. Obviously, Coventry's, they're not starting the best, but, that's going to be a tough game on Friday. So, next 5 games, are going to be hard, but hopefully we can come away with at least, 7 points or something.
Mm-hmm.
I predicted 10th. I'm going to stick with it, even though we've made some good signings since I predicted that. Just play it safe. Just stick with what I've already said.
Mm-hmm. Well, I predicted 11th, and I think maybe I want to push it up to 9th or something, but then we could have a very bad next 5 games, couldn't we? Then might have to bump it back down to 11th. So, I'm not going to change my prediction throughout the season. It's always going to be 11th. It has to be, because that's what I said at the start. But again, it's probably better to do that once you've had the full transfer window, because especially when we signed Twine and Philogene, I think that perhaps boosted it a little bit.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Good thing you mentioned the start of the season, Tom, last year, because I looked at the stats. And last season, 8 points from the first 5, scored 7, conceded 8 because of that horrible defeat at West Brom, where it was 5-2, whereas this year, 10 points, scored 9, conceded 6. So better defence, more goals, more points.
And now we have a game plan, unlike then.
Well, precisely. Under Schotter, really, we got those wins, just some sort of lucky bounces that fell to Oscar against Norwich and Coventry. He scored those 5 goals, and none of them are really sort of well worked. you're just sort of scruffy poachers. Whereas this year, some of the goals, like we had Ozan Tufan's great hit against Sheffield Wednesday for goal of the month, and one of these sort of five nominations for the entire league. So I think that shows that, I mean, the passing move before then was really lovely, and the goals, the quality of the goals we've scored so far have been much better. And the move against Bristol with Delap's lovely cross to Tufan as well, I think that was more evidence that we're just playing much better football. But is the fact we did have that strong start after four games last season and then we lost the fifth just evidence that really we can't get too excited this year, Tom?
I think last season we lulled into a false sense of security after the start. Didn't play particularly well. We came away with the points. Whereas this time, there's been more substance with the performances under Bassini. We played much better. We've created more chances, conceding less chances. I think the evidence is there that we can push towards the playoffs early on. It's just about maintaining that consistency because, as we've seen in the past, like if we get one defeat, heads can go down and we go on a tough run. But that it's about how the players obviously react to defeat. And after losing to Norwich, we reacted well. We know that there's going to be a period where we're going to struggle for a few games, lose a couple, just about if we had the cowards in the squad to sort of react to that. And I think in terms of the likes like Scott Twine, Philogene, you know, Morton as well, brought in solid players that have done it at this level and they've sort of added to that. Whereas last season we had a lot of unproven sort of foreign players and a lot that were injured, and that sort of ruined our season a little bit. So this time round, we're more equipped to actually go for the playoffs. And I think we do have the potential to sort of get there, but we know that championship's hard and you can go on poor runs and get injuries to key players. So it's hopefully that we can sort of stay in and around where we are now for as long as possible, and then, you know, see where we are in January, because, you know, no doubt there'll be couple of quid spend in January, and then we can recruit where we need to, and then push the second half of the season.
Yeah, because last year January came a bit late, really. Rossini needed to bring in players, but we only signed three and one of them was Ebiway, so he's only really been able to mould his squad now. Another question I got from a listener was, have the players we signed indicate sort of a change of tactics this season? I'd say no, but it is more that the players we brought in with Twine and Philogene and these technical players shows that we need these exact sort of players to play the system Rossini wants, because last year, perhaps we didn't do that when we signed lots of players under Schotter. We didn't really know what we were doing, but we've now got a squad that is Rossini's. Would you agree with that, Will?
Yeah, definitely. I think the one thing the signings would suggest is I think he wants to move away from, I don't know if this is correct, but to me it suggests he wants to move away from trying to use 4-4-2. He wants to stick with a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3 overall if he can. But yeah, I think now how many of Schotter's signings are still there now compared to the start of the summer?
Well, you've got Tufan and Christie, Traore, Seri. I mean, there were good signings, but some of them were kind of marquee ones, like Tufan and Seri. I think
a third Christie, of them, were, I think out of the 16, a third of them were brought in. I'd say, I mean, out of the 16 were brought in, about six of them have been good.
Put it this way, I think 10 of them there's more players playing regularly who came in under McCann and came in under Schotter now, I'd say.
I'm going to look at my best
Jones, McLaughlin, Slater, Ingram, maybe. There's like four there that are playing well now.
Connolly. He's definitely a senior player. But there were players we signed, like Seri, I think.
I'm not saying there aren't any decent players on this from Schotter, but it feels like more of a Rossini team now than it did, definitely.
Yeah, and you know, we've brought in a few from Brighton, Allsop. You know, he's played at Derby with Rossini, and we wanted to bring in Max Bird. But clearly, the sort of transfer targets were definitely more sort of top targets for a senior, whereas you didn't necessarily feel like Shotter had much say.
Look how many of them look how many of them were transferred from outside of Britain.
Yeah, a lot more, or just players that had been in the Super League at some point. Like even Oscar, who we got from Portugal, he'd been in the Super League, so perhaps we knew about him, or Adjan and his scouts knew about him because he'd been there. Yeah, I agree. Maybe we are moving away from 4-4-2 because you wouldn't sell Oscar if you wanted to have two proper strikers, but you could have him in the middle, Tufan, and then have all the wingers. So I'd agree with that. I guess, why do we think we're going to be better than last season? I mean, there's a lot of good reasons, but just...
Someone asked this question.
Well, no, I have. Because I'm a person. Right.
I thought of you as a question.
There's one answer to that, and it's just simply Liam Rossini, I think.
That's two words, though. You didn't say one word.
It's one answer, though.
One answer. Yeah, I agree. Who knows if actually having him for the entirety of last year would have helped, but coming in and improving it, because you can't really tell what's going to happen with injuries and that sort of thing, but him being here for the entire year, and the one of the things, we probably mentioned it at the last episode, but like Twine talking about the interlap, the tactical information the players are given compared to Shotter, who didn't really know what he was doing, especially in the Championship. Yeah, the tactical genius, isn't it? And this proper style of play that he wants to play. So, yeah, just, want a conversation starter, really. I know it's not really a meaty question, but, sorry, I'm doing my best here. Anything else you want to mention? I think there was a table of every Championship club's net spend. I think the net spend for us was wrong because they didn't include Oscar's loan fee, which was quite significant, but we're definitely top. I think we're seventh or first.
I think we're close to the top. Yeah, so I think if you're basing our prospects this season on that, then we should be in and around the top, and we shouldn't be surprised if we are. If you know what I mean, with the players we've brought in, you look at our squad compared to some of the others in this division, compared to like the likes of Bristol City, like Preston and stuff like that. I know they're doing well.
Plymouth. But Plymouth were really high up there. They might have been second or fourth or something, and that's because they've not, as a promoted League One club, they haven't sold a lot of players, whereas Southampton have the least net spend because they've made a profit off selling Ward-Prowse and players like that. So it's kind of doesn't really show the full story. But we have certainly spent money on various players, and especially Philogene. So is it a risk? Do you think it is a big risk, or is it quite a good sustainable model because we do have young players to sell if things do go wrong and we don't go up?
That's sustainable, I think. You've got a... it's a far cry from what we were doing last summer. Look at like some of the players who brought in, like Scott Swan, Vinagre, Philogene, Morton. You look at them and you think, yeah, they're going to be good at Championship level, and they've all experienced at Championship level before. In one way or another, obviously Vinagre was a key part of Wolves' promotion season, and then played a part the following season in Europe, and then since then was a bit frozen out, but now obviously looking to get his career back on track, and so far is doing that. But Tyler Morton, who played every single game for Blackburn last season, or most of them, and then obviously Twan played a decent role in Burnley's promotion winning campaign. So if you look at on the basis of the players we're signing, the sort of personnel, you'd think that we are over the chance of pushing towards the top of the division. But yeah, in terms of your question, I think it's a sustainable model. I think you've got to, in order to get your reward, it's cliche, but you've got to take those risks to get your rewards, and there are a lot of teams that have to get out of this division. I mean, likes of Luton haven't spent much at all, and they've managed to do it, but I think when the money's there, you've got to sort of invest it well, and certainly some, I think we have.
We've got a question from Enship, and I think I might actually want to re-answer this one because I said Oscar was going to be the top goal scorer this season. I guess if if he scored 15 in France, does that count? Probably not.
I don't think he is going to score. I think I said Oscar's going to be top scorer as well.
So do we want to take this opportunity?
I said Connolly, Sam, all right.
Well, yeah, I think you look at Delap, you look at probably not Twine, you look at Delap or Connolly or Tufan. Tom, did you say Oscar? So who could it be now?
I think based on the facts that Delap sometimes find himself dropping a bit deep to get the ball and if Connolly, it depends on if Connolly stays fit. I'd like to say Connolly, but we know that his injury record is not the greatest, so it's a risk saying that. But I do think that Connolly, in terms of the positions he finds himself in, the runs he makes him behind, I think he's got a chance to be our top scorer. Mm-hmm. Whereas Delap's a bit more the selfless player, I'd say. Like he sort of drifts out wide to create opportunities for people in the middle, as we've seen for Sufan's goal against Bristol City. Mm-hmm. So I do think that, yeah, depending on if he stays fit, then Connolly could be our top scorer. But Tufan's probably with a shout as well.
I think I probably would go Tufan, but it's a shame he's injured for the next two home games, because I think at home, we said this on the last episode, he needs to be on the pitch at home, because we have more control of the ball, and that's when he can really show his quality, and he's going to miss two chances.
I would agree that. I think if you're playing a two up front at home, you'd probably rather play Tufan than Connolly. You play Tufan in the lap, whereas away from home, with obviously Connolly's pressing, and you know, if you want to take a bit of control away, then you'd rather play Connolly, if you know what I mean. I think Connolly and Delap away from home are better because of the pressing and Tufan with the control that we have at home now, like you say.
Yeah, because I mean, Connolly, we don't really keep the ball as much. It's that long ball over the top with his pace, but it's got goals from. Will, what do you think about this one and Darlow? Ethereum made a mistake not signing him because he went to Leeds for only $500,000. But do you want to explain? Is it just the wages would have been too much?
I was about to say, he didn't just go to Leeds for $500,000. He went for a lot more money in wages, I imagine, as well, and probably a guarantee at the time, because I think Meslier was linked with leaving the club. He was probably promised at the time he'd be first choice as well. Obviously, that's not turned out well for him. But a lot more than just the transfer fee went into him, us not getting Darlow, which is a shame. But it's his choice. To be fair, if they offered him better money than we could offer him, then I wouldn't blame him, to be fair, going there.
Yeah, I think that's what most football transfers come down to. I think because we have sort of been on a more level footing with a lot of championship clubs that aren't parachute payment clubs, we're now a much more exciting prospect. Like it used to be that if several clubs were in for him, like I remember Norwood going to Sheffield United years ago, there's no chance he would have come here over them. And of course they got promoted, but wages probably, you know, I don't know whether it was really bad at that point, but footballing wise, we're much more exciting because of the way we play. And then again, he's saying that the keeper signing from Derby, well, he was at Derby, it was from Cardiff, will fit in well with Matt. Because as I said last week, I think the best way to get the best out of Ingram is to have proper, competition. That's what we've had. And Lotitalo isn't really going to provide that. So I think we've answered that one. We're happy with Ingram, but I think, on my thing, I put Allsop in because if Rossini does talk about how good he is on the ball, I think maybe we'll see just the best of us, like when we had Darlow, and just be more comfortable at the back. So that's all I was thinking about. Shall we move on to the most exciting part of the episode?
Oh, God.
You excited? You excited? Okay, it's time for the combined lineup between Hull City and Coventry City now. Perhaps
Up out left when he played out right.
Well, again, wingers, I'll explain it with how I do it. I don't care where they are because they flip over all throughout the game anyway. Who cares? You know, if you're right footed on the wing, you can cross it or you can cut inside, you can do both.
So this season.
Godden scored three. So So I'll read it out. It's Wilson in goal, who's had two clean sheets. Vinagre from his great performance against Leicester. Greaves, McFadzean, who is one of the highest rated players in the league. Coyle, again, the best right back in the league statistically, apparently. Ben Sheaf, Seri a bit further up because he can control the game. And, you know, he has got two assists this season. Regan Slater, Hadji Wright, who was signed from Antalyaspor to replace Gyökeres.
And we wanted
him last summer, exactly. So I thought he had to go in. Dalap, left wing. He can be right wing, but who cares? And then Matt Godden up front. I know that maybe is a bit controversial over Dalap up front, but Dalap's on the wing there. And Godden has scored three goals. So there you go. Do you want to tear me apart?
Do you know what?
It's not bad.
No, you say this every week, but anytime I say it's time for the lineup, like, oh no, this is going to be awful. But they're consistently at least okay, I'll say. It's very, like, I haven't put Slater at goalkeeper. Honestly. You're not giving my credit.
I think, obviously it's based on form, so. Yeah, I think you've done a decent job. You've done a decent job there.
The only one I would change that I can think of straight off the top of my head would be Greaves for Jones.
Yeah, but yeah, you can't have right-sided centre-backs on. Ridiculous.
You've just put the lap on the left. So why can't have two right-sided centre-backs?
You can cut inside. The wingers don't matter. Cut inside and score with
it. It doesn't matter if you're right. Right. I think you can put anyone across that back line. Just put a centre back at right back, as well.
Yeah, but especially with the way this team plays, Rossini is always the manager. Well, I'm the manager, and I do what Rossini does with the possession based style, playing out from the back. Yeah, this is my lineup. So you couldn't have two right sided or two left sided because you'd get pressed or whatever, something like that. But you need the ability.
I'd drop Slater four, but. I'd probably drop him maybe for someone else, but I don't know.
Yeah. So, I was just looking at the midfield options for both teams, and Callum O'Hare's injured, Tufan's injured. Twine's been decent, but you've got to have Godden and Wright in there. Wright's got a goal and two assists. So I think Alex Lancaster says, Witto for the Germany job. What does that mean? Have Germany sacked their manager?
Yes.
Who was the German manager for years?
No, it's Hansi Flick.
Hansi Flick, yeah. But obviously, yeah.
Did he? I thought he got sacked.
They got lost to Japan 4-1 last night, don't you, Nathaniel?
Did they? I knew they lost to them at the World Cup, but I thought, so have they sacked another manager since the World Cup?
No. He was manager at the World Cup.
Uh-huh, and he still was.
Yeah.
but they're also still rubbish, is what he's saying.
Yes,
generally yes. What I found ridiculous when I read about it actually earlier is he's actually the first Germany manager to be sacked ever since they were first formed in the 1920s.
That's all very bad.
All of them have just left.
Yeah.
That's quite bad.
That is quite.
Joachim Löw left after he's picking his nose, didn't he?
I could be the second Germany manager to get sacked.
He's last feeling with losing to England.
Mm. Yeah, well, I am a 16th German, so I guess that does sort of make me almost eligible. So that would.
So you're about as eligible as Jimmy Bullard was for the Germans.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, that's more than not being a 16th. So, you know.
Apply for it then, Nathaniel.
I don't know if I'd get it. Yeah, I'm applying for other jobs.
Like Dame Russell.
I don't think they're quite that desperate. I mean, is the German national team? They're quite good. So.
And they're hosting the major tournament next summer.
That is true. Do we think it is another question? Aside, so you can ask questions in the comments about things other than Hull or football. Do you think Harry Kane playing in Munich for a whole year before the tournament will help him for England? Because I don't think it could.
What being in Germany will make him more better for a German tournament?
Well, because he'll just be used to the region and he'll be on his best form, hopefully. But he's always on his best form with Spurs. So that's just something I've seen in the media, and I'm not honestly sure it would help.
His record for England at tournaments in general suggests it doesn't matter where he is.
Yeah. Well, he's the top scorer in tournaments for England ever, I think, with 11, 12? 12.
We're saying that the other day, he was the only player who looked like he was going to create a goal, never mind score one.
Well, he was the only player who did create one against Ukraine.
Exactly.
Do we want to talk about another fairly boring match for England?
You've left the whole City stuff very quickly there, Nathaniel.
Well, we have been talking about it for 47 minutes, to be fair. I think we've done pretty well. But I guess, I know Ant's not here, but we can get his prediction, or he might have already predicted it last week. But do we want to predict what the Coventry game and the Leeds game are going to be? Because again, anytime you've got the sort of two games at home in a week, in the Championship, in the, you know, weekend game and then midweek, it's always a big, exciting time.
Yeah. What we do an episode next Sunday to preview the
Leeds game.
Yeah.
That's probably very intelligent, Tom. So shall we just do Coventry?
We'll just skip over it, because then we have the Coventry game to base our prediction on the next week.
Is Ian saying Ireland are beating the Netherlands? I think he has done.
Connolly.
Adam Eder has scored from the spot. Well, they couldn't just let Connolly come off the bench and take that, surely? Seems a bit harsh. That's why I'm done.
I show speed.
Oh, dear. Yeah. 8-5, the signed men charity game was.
I'm not bothered about the Simon at all. I'm glad they raised a lot of money for charity, but I could not give a single flying toss about that match.
I couldn't either, to be honest. I've never watched the Simon. I liked Chris MD. I like that. I'm happy he scored.
I'll watch him, to be fair, but
he was good. I didn't see him when I went to Guernsey on the cruise. I think that's where he lives. Or it might be Jersey.
He lives in London, remember.
I definitely wouldn't have seen him.
Can we get back to football?
Well, we're talking about football. It was on the official FootMob app. Everyone had ratings. You could see the XG. The Sidemen or the other team's goalkeeper had a rating of 0.3.
Actually, now you've brought up XG, I can have a little rant again.
Let's talk about XG.
Last week, the five worst teams for XG... Four of them won their games and one of them drew. The worst XG last week was Hull City. Now,
I just admit,
worst five teams, all of them did well. And I think it was in the best five XG, like three of them lost. It just further validates how stupid a fucking statistic it is.
But can I
do think that in space, based on, I think when you lose games, I think if you've got a high XG, you know that you're creating chances. That's all I'd say. But
what I would say to that is, there is a stat that says you created chances that's called shots and shots on target.
No, but XG like indicates the value of them shots, I guess. Like you could have like 25 shots in a game and you could have like 0.4 XG.
A shot has two values. It either goes in, which is a 1, or it doesn't go in, which is a 0.
Yeah, but then if you score from 40 yards and you say that's 1, but you're not always going to score from 40 yards. Yeah. That's the point.
But you did time, so it's 1.
Well, yes, but I think it doesn't necessarily mean that if you have a higher XG, you should have won, but it's just a stat. Just because it doesn't correlate to the result, it's like more shots. How come a team had more shots didn't win? But it's just a stat you can use. It isn't the be all and end all of everything.
The problem is people treat it as the be all and end all of everything, and that's the issue.
Well, yeah, because when you see those sort of expected points, how much you'd expect
you
based on,
that.
But that's more difficult because
expected
just,
points now,
because
that
is
good.
No, but. That is
oh,
just,
well, we won the table on
just XG. It's just XG, really.
I think
XG conceded, XG scored. That's
yeah, but XG is kind of an interesting stat. But when you do the expected points, that doesn't make sense to me because that does assume then that XG is the most important thing, which it isn't clearly.
No, it isn't.
I agree with that. Yeah, well, it's the points, though, isn't it? You don't have to score goals. You just have to keep the clean sheets. So really, it's just point. So yeah, but it's just one thing of many. But I guess it's because it's so a sort of a simple thing to look at how many goals, and maybe it is overused. But I like that some stats, you know, come in and come out. It's the average ball recovery time at the World Cup, which has not become popular because who cares? It's basically exactly the same as possession.
Yeah, I have noticed as well, when they do possession now, they'll do each team's possession and they'll have a bit in the middle that's like in transit type thing, as if no team's got possession of the ball.
But who cares? Yeah, I mean, it's, I guess it is a fair portion of the time because the ball can be in the air for a long time. But yeah, I just like, that was just at the World Cup. In the Premier League, I think they've just been using the normal one.
No, I've seen that in the Premier League, that one.
Yeah, well, that's annoying. Because you loaded it up, I'm going to put it on screen. This is a photo of Lionel Messi photoshopped into the Hull City kit from last year, the away one. That's fun. I haven't got any.
Wow, we are scrambling for content today, aren't we, lads?
We really are.
Yeah, we're really scraping at the barrel, aren't we, today?
Well, it's the international break. We just got to do these sort of things.
I would say vote for us in the FCAs, but the voting is shut already.
Well, we can say...
It felt like the voting was open like 5 minutes.
It was like a week and a half or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a fair period of time, I thought. Maybe 2 weeks. Because it was the entire time I went on holiday as well, I think. So it was a long time. But thanks to everyone who
pushed it a lot.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone who did vote. Yeah. And if we are successful enough to be in the final, when I think voting opens, what, October or late this month? 5th of October? 25th.
September.
Then we would very much like you to vote for us in the actual final, because that was just the nominations. But we don't know until later this month, until we get into that.
Of course, we're not bothered about nominations. We don't do it for the content or anything.
No, of course not. But, you know, thanks again for listening to the award-winning.
Are we ending here as well?
Oh, just, you know, mentioning that we, you know, we don't do it for the awards, but we are award-winning. We're very proud of it. So always got to mention that. But I think just quickly we'll get our score predictions for Hull City Coventry. I don't think it's going to be as exciting as 3-2 last year. Maybe a bit tighter. But Will, just get your silly one out of the way. I know you did get points from it last week, but...
It's not silly considering I was the other one to predict us to beat Leicester.
Yeah. Well, go on then, Will. Say it. Get it over with.
3-0 all season.
Boring. Alex says 2-1, presumably to Hull. Alex, this is what happens when Ant is away with a Turkey squad on international duty. I guess he isn't, but he could be. He could be if he was fit. So... That's a good comment, Alex. Tom, commentary, thoughts?
I'm going to stick my neck out and say 1-0 to Hull City. Mm-hmm. I'm on zero points, but I'm still pissed off. I said 1-1 when I said 2-1 on a different podcast. But
if you really want to play the odds, I don't think that saying a Hull win is going to. That's not really playing the odds. I know we've had a good start, but you know,
well, it's still Hull City.
I'm going to predict, yeah, I think what Alex says, 2-1 to Hull. I think maybe...
You're really playing the odds there, Nathaniel.
Yeah, it was even more unlikely than Tom, but I've already got some points. So I'll go 2-1 to Hull City. Maybe Twang will get his first goal and maybe a lovely free kick. Just check the comments. I think we've got a few more predictions to read out. So when it loads, I can read those out. Here we go. Enship 1-1. Or 0-0, perhaps a draw. Alex says, Witter always shutting my attempts at jokes down and making me look odd. Apologies, but you do that to yourself, I guess. I'm just seeing what I, you know, saying what I see, really. So apologies for that. But thanks again. So 2-1 win to Hull. Will, 3-0. Tom, 1-0 to Hull. That would be a lovely start to a very big week at home against Coventry and Leeds. So thanks again for all your comments and questions. I think we really needed some sort of more topics to debate. And Will, did we want to talk very finally about having gravy, beans or corn on the cob as a part on the KFC menu? Because we were talking about that before.
This is nothing to do with me. This is you that's brought this up.
Okay, right, this guy gets corn on the cob instead of gravy. Shooting.
Well, I like corn on the cob. It's nice.
Yeah, I do agree. Yeah, you did say that. That's fair.
Despite my shit, like, I don't eat KFC often.
To be fair, I do agree that like it should be an extra side. Like obviously, corn on the cob is actual. Like, you know, you chew on that. Whereas class like gravy and beans as a sad. But yeah, let's just get.
How did we win an award?
I don't know. It's the KFC.
Gravy's not the best side. Gravy's not the best.
We came third.
That's true.
How
did we come third? Yeah, we were still the highest.
Yeah, this is the debate everyone wants to. This is the everyone's here for one. What are you to get with KFC? Come on.
Yeah.
But surely Ethereum, what is a more logical lot.
Yeah. Ethereum says 2-0 Cov, whole win. Oh yeah, and then 1-1 Leeds draw. Wouldn't mind 4 points at home this week. But yeah, I think gravy's good. I'm not a huge gravy fan myself, but it's decent. But compare that to just beans, which is sort of a side. But corn on the cob, that's a nice, tasty thing, and feels it's not healthy.
So what you dipping your chicken in then?
Well, it isn't dry, is it?
You've got to dip your chicken in something.
Well, today I ordered a real tomato dip and I didn't get any, so I was eating it at home. Will's crying in the corner.
We're scraping it to 1 hour, aren't we?
We really are scraping. we'll just finish shy of an hour, but thanks again for listening. If the voting does open later this month, we would really like you to vote again. In the final, if we do get there. But thanks again for commenting and liking, and we'll be back again next week. Bye bye.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.